Mr. Brennan? Again, for the record, Graham versus City of Lincoln Personnel Board. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Please the court. My name is Sean Brennan. I represent Tracy Graham. She appeals to this court from the order of the Lancaster County District Court upholding her employment termination by the City of Lincoln. I would like to reserve 90 seconds of my time for rebuttal, please. Sergeant Graham had been employed by the Lincoln Police Department for a period of 11 years. She had 39 commendations during that period of time. She was promoted to sergeant, and she appealed to the Lancaster County District Court from a decision by the City of Lincoln Personnel Board, which also upheld her employment termination, but did so without ever fairly weighing the evidence, without any understanding of the process that it was convened for the purpose of hearing this, without any understanding of the burden of proof to be applied during the hearing convened for that purpose. And it was that failure of the Personnel Board that is at the crux of this appeal. The process that the Personnel Board was supposed to employ is outlined by the provisions in the labor agreement between the police union and the City of Lincoln. And those provisions explicitly distinguish between employee grievances, which is an action initiated by the employee to complain about working conditions, wages, fringe benefits, as opposed to employee discipline, which is an action initiated by the agency chief for the purpose of disciplining an employee and, in this case, terminating the employment. The burden of proof in an employee discipline case is on the city to justify the decision of the agency chief, and the board was duty-bound to review that evidence to determine whether the city met the burden of proving that the termination of employment was justified.
Isn't that how the board hearing was conducted, though? The city presented its evidence first because it had the burden, and then the employee was able to present her evidence in opposition to it.
Correct.
And isn't that how the appeal hearing should be run?
That's the process that should have been.
And it was an 8-hour hearing, so all of the evidence was presented.
It was a lengthy hearing. I think it was close to 8 hours, yes. Mm-hmm. And at the conclusion of that lengthy hearing, without even pretending to weigh the evidence or to consider the merits of the case, the board voted to deny a grievance.
Well, each of the board members were present during that entire hearing. At least the record would indicate.
I think there's a total of 5 members. There were 4 present at this particular proceeding. One board member at the conclusion, without discussing the evidence or pretending to understand what it was doing, one board member said, I move to deny the grievance.
Well, at that point, there was a statement that we can either move to deliberate or move to vote.
That's correct.
And there was a motion to vote. There was no motion to deliberate.
There was a motion to deny a grievance. That's what happened. Those are the words of the board member. I move to deny the grievance.
That's the first time that word had been used during this.
That word had been used during this entire proceeding.
Putting that aside for a moment then, is there some requirement that the board go into a formal deliberation before voting?
There is a requirement that the board fairly consider mm-hmm. the evidence mm-hmm. and weigh the evidence.
What's your evidence that the board didn't do that?
Because we got a record that shows what they did.
Well, they made a motion to vote on it. How does that equate into the board didn't consider the evidence?
Because of the terminology used by the board member that said, I move to deny the grievance. That reveals what the board misunderstood about the role that they were playing. It was apparent that the board routinely hears grievances and considers them in a perfunctory manner and summarily rules on
them. But this wasn't perfunctory, was it? The 8-hour hearing?
I'm talking about what the board does mm-hmm. after the hearing. Mm-hmm. In this case, the board treated this as if it were a grievance. did not take any effort to weigh or consider the evidence and determine whether the city met its burden of proof. And that's obvious. You have a case where the chief of police justified his decision not because there was misinformation in an accident and not because the report was submitted late. He conceded that happens all the time, and the officers aren't disciplined or terminated for that purpose. Mm-hmm. His explicit statement was, I terminated Sergeant Graham because I believed that she intentionally put false information in the report and that she intentionally submitted the report to avoid scrutiny. That's what he said were the reasons for his decision mm-hmm. to terminate her. But when he was asked during his testimony, what evidence do you have to support your conclusion that she intentionally put false information in the report, his answer was, it's just my belief. And when he was asked, what evidence do you rely on to prove that she intentionally submitted the report late to avoid scrutiny, he said, I don't. I don't have any evidence. So with that being the concessions made by the chief, and the burden being the city's to prove that his reasons were justified, and the board voting summarily to deny a grievance, it is obvious that there was a denial of the process to which Sergeant Graham was entitled at her appeal of her employment termination. The problem is that it's the city's responsibility for ensuring that the agency tribunal knows what it's doing. And this happens all the time in agency cases where you've got the administrative law governing the proceeding, and the agency will frequently employ outside counsel to provide legal services to the board and give them advice and make sure they don't make mistakes and have the agency attorney pursue the appeal on behalf of the agency. I've seen other cases where you have two agency lawyers. One serves as the legal advisor to the tribunal. The other serves as the prosecutor to pursue the interests of the agency. Nothing happened like that in this case. There was no one there from the city who had the responsibility to provide due process to ensure that that happened and that this mistake didn't occur. But it is obvious that this board did not weigh the evidence and did not consider the issues and did not consider whether the city's burden of proof had been met when the chief of police, who said why he terminated the employee, admitted that he didn't have any evidence to justify that decision. We know it didn't happen. All you have to do is look at the record. In a matter of 30 seconds or less, after this lengthy hearing, the board voted to deny grievance and left the room. Now, you can't conclude, based on that record, that they weighed the evidence or considered anything. It just didn't happen.
But you're asking us to assume that they didn't.
I'm asking
how do we know that they didn't individually consider the evidence as they're listening to the testimony?
What I'm asking you to do is recognize what the record clearly shows. Mm-hmm. They didn't even discuss it. They didn't even pretend to understand what they were doing. It's obvious that they didn't understand what they were doing. And that evidence has never been weighed, ever. The district court wasn't required to weigh the evidence and relied on legal precedent to say that this court does not reweigh evidence or resolve conflicts in testimony, but there was nothing to reweigh. The evidence hadn't been weighed, and as a result, the board failed to understand what it was supposed to do, and the responsibility was with the city to ensure that it didn't make that mistake. And as a result, Sergeant Graham's right to due process has been violated, and she's entitled to have this case reviewed, have someone weigh the evidence, whether you do it yourself or you remand it to the personnel board to do it. It's got to be done. Otherwise, her right to due process won't be corrected.
Thank you, Mr. Brennan. Ms. Peters? Good afternoon.
Members of the Chief Justice and members of the court, may it please the court. My name is Tanya Peters. I am an assistant city attorney. My specific title is police legal advisor. I'm assigned to the Lincoln Police Department. This case is about a police officer who was terminated for providing false information in an official police report. That official police report being the state of Nebraska's motor vehicle accident report. You have a lengthy record before you. Approximately an 8-hour hearing was held before the City of Lincoln's Personnel Board. At that hearing, evidence was presented of the appellant's information that she put in the police report, and how that information was incorrect. The appellant testified that she was trained properly, that she did not follow her training. She testified that she did not use the overlay that is provided by the state of Nebraska that specifically tells her how to fill out the accident report. And she also admits that she turned in this accident report days later. Now, the City of Lincoln did an extensive investigation approximately 2 months into this, interviewing witnesses, including the appellant. During that process, the appellant was notified of what the allegations were. Her and her counsel was able to present evidence as part of the due process. She was then presented after the conclusion of the internal affairs investigation, she was then given a lateral hearing, what most of us commonly refer to as a pre-disciplinary hearing, where she heard the evidence that was presented against her. She could present evidence herself. And then at that hearing, she basically had a similar version as to why she completed the accident report the way she did. She basically said, I failed in my testing of this driver, and so I put no testing was done. She really didn't have a reason why she put that alcohol was not suspected by the one driver. She presented five emails approximately as to why she didn't have time to complete this accident report promptly.
And she wasn't disciplined, though, for submitting a late report.
Not individually. A late report, you would get discipline on it, a much lower level unless you were a frequent person that turned in late. It would not have led to termination in the progressive discipline system. But it is part of the discipline, and we can't ignore that it's there. But the main reason that she was disciplined was for putting the false information in the police report.
Now what about the chief's testimony during the board hearing that Mr. Brennan referred to, that he didn't have evidence that the misinformation was intentional?
I think you have to read Chief's the questions before and after that. Basically, Chief Pashon was saying, I don't have any direct evidence. I don't have an admission from her that says, I intentionally did this. That's what he's saying. It is clear, she admits that she completed the accident report. She admits that she did the testing, although improper, she did testing, and she admits that she knew that driver was drinking. Chief Pashon looked at all the other pieces and put this together and said, I believe you intentionally completed the accident report to cover up your mistakes. And I can't have that. He believes, and rightly so, that officers need to be credible. They need to be truthful. If they make a mistake, they need to own up to it. She had multiple ways that she could have owned up to her mistake. She could have made a notation, testing was an error in the accident report. We have what we call additional case investigation reports where she could have explained that she had an error in her testing. By leaving the alcohol out of this accident report, it changes what happened at that event, at that scene. And these accident reports are used by state agencies, they're used by local agencies. They would be used by the City of Lincoln in order to pay out a claim for this accident. And so we have to have the truth in those accident reports. She wants to say that this was a mistake or a minor inaccuracy. These are not minor inaccuracies. If you look at her accident report where she puts the color of the vehicle and she actually includes the make of the vehicle, that's a minor mistake. That doesn't change what happened at the scene. It does not change what she did or failed to do. That's a mistake that the police department allows to be corrected. But we do not allow mistakes of something like, no, I did not test, or no, alcohol wasn't suspected. Those are not mere mistakes.
So, Ms. Peters, can we then change the discussion a little bit and go back to Mr. Brennan's argument that the board did not do its duty, did not properly weigh the evidence, and in particular, how it abruptly, at the end of the hearing moved to deny the grievance and how that indicates the board didn't do what it was supposed to do.
I'll point out that the appellant provides no legal authority that says the board has to deliberate, that they have to talk for 5 minutes, that they have to argue about the facts. The appellant forgets that this board, through the 8 hours of testimony, asked questions. They had the opportunity, if they were concerned or if they disagreed with something, they interjected, much like this conversation that we're having today. So for that 8-hour period, that board participated in that hearing and asked their questions as we went along. At the time that the motion was made, where the board member mistakenly said grievance instead of appeal, another board member clarified, what are we voting on? Are we voting to uphold the termination? And so this board was interactive. It did not need, before the vote, to sit and discuss it if they didn't feel they needed to. That being aside, she still had her due process at the district court level, too, where she claims that the district court didn't consider the evidence. And so all I'm hearing from the appellant is that everybody else didn't do their job, but I did. And that's not the case. Those board members participated for 8 hours in that discussion or in that hearing, and they voted to uphold her termination.
Didn't, during the course of the hearing, were there other references to grievance by anyone, or were there references to it being an appeal hearing by various people?
Throughout the entire hearing, it was referenced as an appeal. If you look at the transcript, you'll see that both counsels of record, myself and Mr. Brennan, both called it an appeal. All the documentation was an appeal. And throughout the hearing, we talked about an appeal. And in closing, we talked about the appeal. And me specifically, went over the evidence and the burden. The burden was on the city. I think it was very clear that the board understood that. But in the LPU, and this maybe it could be the 8 hours of tiredness by the time we got there that the word grievance slipped out, or it could be that they were looking at Article 9 of the Lincoln Police Union contract, which talks about the grievance procedure. The appeal of a termination is laid out in the grievance procedure. We use it interchangeably, right or wrong in that contract. It is used interchangeably. So basically, if you're aggrieved, you can follow these steps. And if it's because of it's a termination, then you skip the first two steps and you move to step three, which is going to the personnel board.
And it's specifically referred to as an appeal.
Grievance, if my memory is right, grievance and appeal are both in the same sentence. So.
Thank you.
How much time does Mr. Brennan have?
With regard to the governing law about whether an agency tribunal is supposed to weigh the evidence, the law is fairly clear on that. Where the agency acts without considering the evidence, that fact alone renders the agency decision arbitrary and capricious. That's the Hickey case cited in the briefs. If the agency action disregards facts or applies the wrong standard of review, the parties are denied due process. That's the Kawasaki Motors case. So you've got the agency here, the tribunal, not weighing the evidence, arbitrary and capricious decision results, and we've got them saying that they're applying the standard of review for a grievance because they said they were voting to deny a grievance.
And when you mention standard of review, you're really talking about the burden of proof, aren't you?
Well, that's exactly right. That's okay. What they're supposed to do is place the burden where it belongs, reviewing the case. And they didn't do that. They said that they were denying a grievance. That means they were putting the burden of proof on Ms. Graham, and that's not where it's supposed to be placed. So this appeal should be granted, and the case should be re-ended. Thank you.
The last matter this afternoon is State versus Olbricht.